It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. We're here each week, same time, same stations, over 400 radio stations across the United States, and of course around the world on the internet. We deal with apologetics, the cults, discernment, the occult, Bible prophecy, all those kind of issues. And today we play the fourth and final part of my interview with pastor and filmmaker Joe Schimmel, discussing his terrific new DVD set, which is a two-disc set entitled The Submerging Church. To listen to or to download any of the programs in this series, or to listen to any of the past programming we've done here on Take a Stand Radio, just visit the radio archives at ericbarger.com. Well, I'll be back here in the studio in just a few minutes, but let's get into the interview right now with pastor and filmmaker Joe Schimmel. All right, everybody, on the line with me is Pastor Joe Schimmel from Simi Valley, California. Joe's website, goodfight.org, great site. You want to go there. We've been talking about his DVD set, The Submerging Church. It is a terrific DVD set. The last couple of programs, we've talked about the first disc in the set. And Joe, this time we want to talk about the second DVD in the set, which is The Emerging Church and the Bono Screwtape Connection. I just want you to go ahead and just start into this, brother, and get us started, and then we'll converse as we go along.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't realize is that Bono, more than just about anybody else, is considered a leader in the emerging church. And now, while many people would say, Bono, how would he be considered a leader in the emerging church movement? Emergent leaders over and over again reference Bono or quote Bono. And in fact, I give quote after quote in the second part right there, in our second DVD there, of leader after leader, top leaders in the emerging church, speaking of Bono as the leader or a leader in the emerging church movement. I think it's critical for people to understand because it actually, when you think about it, it goes back actually to the 80s, and because he was a spiritual leader of sort. A lot of people were caught up in Bono's music. They were the biggest rock band of the 1980s, and so many professing Christians were like, hey, wow, this guy, you know, he mentions Jesus in an interview, or this song or that song references the cross, or, you know, so a lot of people started picking up on his lingo. And they started saying, well, you know, and started following Bono. He was idolized and looked at by many Christian youth leaders at that time as a spokesman for the Christian church. It so happens that Bono is, you know, universalist. He's eclectic when it comes to religion. He's very, very worldly. He himself said he has no Christian fruit at all. And it so happens that those who followed his rhetoric and what have you, these men later became pastors in Christian churches in the 1990s and up until this date right now. And so what we're having now is all kinds of Christian leaders influenced by Bono's watered-down form of Christianity and therefore purveying it because they basically made their ministries in the image, to one degree or another, of Bono.
You know, Joe, as you know, I wrote three books on the secular rock music industry back in the 1980s and 90s, and that was our ministry. I was one of the guys doing rock seminars back in the early and mid-80s and then on into the 90s. That was the first thing we did in full-time ministry. But, you know, when people began to equate Bono to being a Christian, I went, well, look, the lifestyle doesn't match up here. Am I missing something? Am I a legalist? Have I gone off the wrong direction? Have I gone from being the complete liberal to being so ultra conservative that I'm missing the point here? And I watched others around me kind of let their hair down and accept Bono as being a Christian. And, you know, when you talk about somebody's Christianity, all you have to do is examine the fruit. I mean, that's all we know what to do with. And you start examining the fruit, there's no fruit. And even Bono says, and I saw that on the DVD when I was reviewing your DVD, Bono says there's no fruit. What more is there to talk about? Yet I know there's way more. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, there is such a love affair that people have with Bono. What we have to do is say, okay, you know, what does Jesus teach? Do we love Jesus? Do we love his word? Now we have to look at Bono in light of Scripture, especially because he comes forth as a spokesman at times for Christianity. He's used that way in the emerging church movement. Eric, I was invited to speak. I've spoken at different places, did the same thing as you. Another way our lives kind of parallel each other from the early 80s onward, seminars on, and I still do them to this day, called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Back then I called it Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age Revolution. And I was invited to a church. I did a presentation there on rock music and Satanism. And the pastor told me that was the most people he had ever seen come to Christ at his church. In fact, there were relatives of the associate pastor that came to Christ that day. I mentioned that because they scheduled me to go again and speak there. And about, I don't know, like 3 days before I was to speak there, I was told by the associate pastor that the head pastor was excited about having you back, but now he doesn't want to have you back because he heard in your DVD you actually talk about Bono, and he named his dog Bono, and he's a big Bono fan. And I was like, wow, you know. Well, I ended up speaking there anyway, and, you know, I've spoken at the associate pastor that has since opened up a fellowship at this church. But I'm just saying there's such a love for Bono, but it's like, what is this man really about? What is he teaching? Where does he come from? And one thing we expose, and we, like you said, Eric, it's like 90 minutes that we go through on Bono's life, and we show him doing everything from singing Sympathy for the Devil, swinging around an upside-down cross as he sings Helter Skelter, to stating that, you know, we have different quotes from him where he talks about he wants the world, you know, he was going to start not MTV, but, you know, something like MTV, which is going to basically rival MTV, his own network called the Zoo Network. And he said it was going to be an eye to the world so they could see the movies of Kenneth Anger. Well, Kenneth Anger is a co-founder of the Church of Satan, a follower of Aleister Crowley. His movies are about not only homosexuality, but Crowleyan Satanism. In fact, Lucifer Rising, Invocation of My Demon Brother, these are movies propagating the new eon of Horus, the new age of how Crowley envisioned the new age of Satanism.
Okay, Joe, and stop right there and say that again, because Bono is literally advocating a guy who is the co-founder of the Church of Satan. Do I have that right?
Yeah, Kenneth Anger, along with Anton LaVey, is the co-founder of Church of Satan. His whole thing was his movies have pushed the teachings of Aleister Crowley. He's probably the most highly regarded public figure as far as film, promoting Aleister Crowley, no doubt about it, promoting Aleister Crowley's teachings. He's used Mick Jagger, Jimmy Page, others who have been into Aleister Crowley. He's sought to use Jimmy Page doing the soundtrack for Lucifer Rising, ended up having Bobby Beausoleil, who was the first one to commit a murder for Charles Manson, do the music soundtrack for Lucifer Rising, which was all about bringing forth the so-called Age of Aquarius. He calls the Age of Aquarius the Age of Horus, the New Age of Crowley. Well, he says that he writes his films, Kenneth Anger says, are to cast spells on people. Well, this is what Bono says, that he wanted Zoo TV Network to be an eye to the world for Kenneth Anger's movies. Another interview, which we document these interviews, he says that he was, you know, he's upset with America because we censor people from seeing the movies of Kenneth Anger. Well, people could see the movies of Kenneth Anger. Unfortunately, I mean, it's satanic propaganda. So these things, when I started looking more and more into Bono's life, I was like, this guy loves the Satanists. This guy loves rebellion. He loves rebellion against God's law. They said they used Christianity. They basically were attracted. I shouldn't say used, but The Edge said, the guitarist for Bono said, they were attracted more to the spiritual side of Christianity than the legislative side, meaning the commands, you know, thou shalt not, because Crowley's whole philosophy was do what thou wilt, and Crowley was pushing spirituality without the biblical teaching of what's right and wrong, which basically, as you know, Eric, opens you up to the spirit realm and the demonic world.
I saw the guitar player, The Edge, make that statement. That's what he calls himself, The Edge. The U2 guitarist made the statement that they wanted the spiritual side, but not the legislative side of Christianity. And again, folks, we're talking to Pastor Joe Schimmel. This is Eric Barger, Take a Stand Radio. You're listening to Take a Stand Radio here on the weekend. Well, this is Eric Barger once again back in the studio, and I hope you'll stop right now and order Joe Schimmel's documentary DVD set, The Submerging Church. You'll find it on our website at ericbarger.com, or you can call and order it at 214-289-5244. We'll get back to the conclusion of the interview with Joe Schimmel in just a minute, but now here's our announcer to bring you more information.
Want much more from pastor and filmmaker Joe Schimmel? We hope you'll order The Submerging Church DVD set today. This in-depth documentary will inform and challenge, answering nearly every question about the dangers of the emergent church movement. Included is a bonus 90-minute DVD concerning the emergent's key musician, Bono, lead singer of U2. Visit our safe and secure online store at ericbarger.com. That's E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com, or call 214-289-5244 to place your order. And thanks for support of Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries.
Joe, begin to put together, so we don't run out of time, begin to put together how you believe that Bono took a lead from C.S. Lewis's writings.
Well, it's interesting. Bono began dressing up like the devil. He did different characters like the fly, which was after Beelzebub with his bulging glasses and, you know, dressing in black and what have you. Mephisto, which was a takeoff on Mephistopheles, making a pact with Mephistopheles, a senior demon. He was dressing like the mirror ball man, he called him, the fly, and Mephisto. These were these satanic characters. Now, a lot of people thought, oh, well, Bono's just having fun. He's just kind of exposing the devil or whatever he's doing. All the while, he's, you know, in cahoots and doing the same thing all the other rockers are doing for the most part, and visiting brothels and getting drunk and partying and, you know, the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll
lifestyle. Now, wait a second. This is a guy that people are looking up to, saying he must be a Christian leader.
Yeah, exactly. And he doesn't, as you mentioned earlier, have a Christian lifestyle at all. In fact, personally, I believe very strongly he's being used by the enemy to deceive Christians en masse. In fact, even, you know, somewhat liberal Christianity Today chided Bono for calling out the church, saying, you haven't attended a church for a long time. And Bono, when he would go to church, would go to Glide Memorial in San Francisco, Pastor Cecil Williams. That's where he'd go when he'd visit the United States. And he'd visit there, which was, you know, where Hillary Clinton and others would identify as a Christian church, which is a very new agey. The pastor was, you know, the marshal and the grand marshal in the gay parades there in Frisco. And he'd talk about how people would come. One guy came to his church nude, and he did put a blanket over him, but he said he celebrated his nudity and his body and was so happy he came to the church nude. And this is the kind of Christianity that Bono identifies with. In fact, Bono said it wasn't until the Christian church united with homosexuals in social action that he saw the Spirit of God at work.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well,
we're talking about a full-blown deceiver. Now, it's interesting, when he was dressing up like Mephisto, the devil, and what have you, well, he was dancing with certain people from the audience, and when he was dressed up like the devil, one gal, according to Irish Times, and I document this, she went dance with him. She said, you're dressed up like the devil. What are you doing? He said, it's the Screwtape Letter thing. I'm doing the whole Screwtape Letter thing. And the whole idea was there that, well, hey, I'm mocking the devil and what have you. Well, I looked more into that, and I thought it was interesting, because in interviews that when he was letting his hair down, he said, hey, people have always seen us with horns. I thought I would just let it out. He said that the band is identifying with different parts of ourselves with regard to Mephisto. He said, not only that, he said he'd quote Oscar Wilde, an Irish poet, and he said that, you know, Oscar Wilde said that you don't really see who a person is until they don a mask. And he said over and over again, he's basically saying we're identifying with Satan. Well, I thought this is interesting, because he's citing the Screwtape Letters, and he would get on the phone as Mephisto, and he'd call up the United Nations, he'd call up the Pope, you know, and he'd have these mock talks.
And this is on stage where he's got the phone there, and he comes up to the phone and acts like he's making a call to the Pope, or
right,
yeah, and that's, and so you what you're really documenting here is that he's taken the lead of how C.S. Lewis used the Screwtape Letters to warn us about what goes on in the underworld, and
right.
Bono has picked up on using that very modus operandi to deceive the church. That's what you're saying.
Very well put, Eric. That's exactly what I'm saying. He used it as a playbook, you know. In fact, what I did, I hadn't read the Screwtape Letters since I was a new Christian years and years ago. But I was saying, wow, it's interesting. A lot of what Bono is purveying and propagating to the masses is a lot of what I remember in C.S. Lewis's book, where Wormwood, you know, Senior Devil, sends messages via letters to Screwtape on how to deceive the patient, which is the new Christian convert. And it's interesting, I went through that book, I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it was like wow, Bono, it's like you're using this page after page. In fact, near the beginning of the book, one way that Wormwood wants to deceive the patient is by telling him that he's emerging from his form of Christianity, and he used the word emerging twice.
I caught that, yeah.
Yeah, into something even greater. And that's what the emerging church says. Hey, you're emerging out of this old form of Christianity, something greater, and get him fixated on a new form of emergence. And what's interesting, when you go through the Screwtape letters, Satan's deceptions, as they're revealed there, are to get them away from the gospel, get them into social action, the social gospel, get their eyes off of heaven, and have them build heaven on earth. All these things that Bono and the emergence are involved in now, many of these things, the effeminate lifestyles, get them to dress like, you know, toward effeminacy, a show where Bono and you know, the band are dressing totally like women at this time as well. And this, at this point, you know, the whole postmodern thing, all these things Bono had pushed very strongly. Now some are saying, oh, well, Bono was basically, you know, he's basically making fun of the whole postmodern thing. Well, if you look at his lifestyle, if you look at U2 as a whole, it's always been about imagery over ultimate substance. He's, you know, they've never truly found the way, you know, what they're looking for, Jesus Christ. In fact, the message that was purveyed that most people got through, you know, especially their postmodern period, was the image trumps reality. And that was the movement that was being conveyed. In fact, they played a huge role in moving people out of modernism into postmodernism.
Yeah, and of course, right alongside it, or along with it, I should say, was the whole universalism aspect, too, that was brought into play. And, you know, what I think is going on here with the emergent movement in general, and specifically or in particular with Bono and probably a lot of other lesser-known rock stars, is just part of the conditioning process. The world is, I should say, going through a massive desensitization concerning these things, concerning morals, concerning what truth is. Relativism has become the ruling aspect. When people decide what is right and wrong, they make up their own rules as they go along rather than go with empirical and absolute truth. And certainly Bono was helping lead the way there. It's part of a desensitization process that I believe has to happen at the end of the end times before people are ready to accept what Antichrist has to offer.
Yeah, 100%. In fact, the syncretism you see in Bono, which you've seen and we show in our video, you know, they use on the Jumbotron, Bono also with a headband with the same symbols, this whole, you know, with the cross, the Muslim crescent moon, and the Jewish star. And Bono, you know, chants, you know, Muslim, you know, Christian, Jew.
Tell us the chant again. I think this is an important point.
I'm going off my memory here, but it's to the effect of, you know, Muslim, Christian, Jew. It's true, and he's saying it's true over again, all children of Abraham. And his whole thing is that, hey, you know, he's a universalist. He believes that everybody makes it. I'm not saying he really believes that, because I personally believe, especially when you see his Kenneth Anger quotes, that he's working for the enemy, that he knows he is. But he presents Christianity as, into the Christian church, as, hey, we all need to unite, Christian, Muslim, Jews, you know, we all have the same God and what have you, and he's basically moving the world into this whole one-world Antichrist system. In fact, he relishes in the fact that his nickname was the Antichrist when he was a child, and what he'll do on their Jumbotron, they'll show these symbols, which they'll also show, you know, the eye in a triangle type symbol on the Jumbotron, along with the penis. These were all symbols that were used by Crowley for the Age of Horus. Keep in mind what we were talking about earlier about him wanting people to see the movies of Kenneth Anger, who pushed Crowley's whole new eon. I know we only have so much time we can't get into too much depth here, but when you watch the video on Bono, it becomes eye-popping as to how all this fits together and how Bono is basically herding the masses like cattle into this coming new world order. And then we consider the fact that he's quoted over and over again by emergent leaders as some kind of spiritual authority. And we recognize that, which I know we wanted to cover, we really didn't get a chance to do it, Eric, on your last programs, but the Islamic connection, then we see that he's not only trying to build a bridge to Islam with Christianity. In fact, with the prime minister of Turkey, the two of them have discussed together, getting together in Istanbul, because it was the capital of the eastern part of the Roman Empire, where the Turkish Empire started, rather than in Jerusalem, where Bono wanted to have it. Bono wanted to get together and have a conference that would unite Christians and Muslims and Jews. But instead of having it in Jerusalem, he's talked to the president of prime minister of Turkey that they would have a conference there in Turkey. That's just crazy when you realize that Rick Warren and several other professing Christian leaders are propagating this idea that I know Rick Warren's backed off lately, but he still hasn't removed his signature from the Common Word document.
Well, we've talked over exactly, again. Joe. We've talked about that a lot here on the radio, and I do that in my seminar series. This has been a real concern to me, and until Rick Warren does remove his name from the Common Word document at Yale, then everything else he says, in my opinion, is just to try to skirt around the issue.
I would have to agree 100%. I noticed in the Orange County interviews, because I'm out here in California in Orange County.
I read those too, yeah.
Yeah, he comes down on them and says, hey, they're inaccurate and what have you, but it never really explains away the King's Way document, which is a document from his church.
And the King's Way document, for anybody who's not heard this, and I covered it several weeks, probably now 4 or 5 months ago here on radio, but that document was signed by Saddleback leadership saying they wouldn't witness to Muslims.
Right, and then it puts scripture again to with Quranic surahs from the Quran.
Exactly. The Quran and the Bible side by side trying to prove the same thing. I don't mean to talk over you, but this, I'm very passionate about this one. Go ahead, bro.
No, exactly that. So he didn't disavow the King's Way document. He hasn't removed his name from the Common Word document, which 3 times affirms Muhammad as a prophet. And over again, I mean, the preamble states, before we shake your hands in unity, let us say that we want to ask for forgiveness from the All-Merciful One, which, as you know, Eric, very well, is a term used in the Quran over and over again for Allah.
Yeah, and the very term Common Word comes from Surah chapter 3, which says that the Christian should state there is no God but Allah. That's basically the meaning of that passage. So, yeah.
And yeah, most, amen. That's frightening.
Yeah, and the Christians out there just don't realize we've got to be smarter. We've got to have more discernment. We have to wake up. We're not trying to say just to have such a narrow, even bigoted style of Christianity, but we're saying, look, some things are true and some things aren't. Some things are New Age and some things are Christian. And when you try melding these things together, this synthesis that's going on, that's where the concern is. And, you know, Joe, I can't believe it, brother. We are out of time. I want to once again encourage folks to go to Joe Schimmel's website, goodfight.org. That's goodfight.org. And whatever you do, whether you get it from our ministry or from Joe's, get a hold of the Submerging Church DVD set. The Submerging Church DVD itself, nearly 2 hours long, a terrific documentary view of what the emergent church is and how it operates and the dangers, the problems of it. The second bonus DVD is 90 minutes long, dealing with the emerging church and basically their worship leader, that would be Bono, and how he's taking directions from C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters in a very negative fashion, by the way. But Joe, I appreciate you so much, brother. We could just continue to talk all day. I know you've got some voiceover work to do today, and I've got things I have to accomplish for the ministry too, but you're a busy pastor, and we appreciate very much what you're doing. I don't have to tell you to keep fighting the good fight. That's what your ministry name does. But we do really appreciate taking time to be here on Take a Stand Radio with me.
Well, Eric, thanks so much for having us on. You are a huge blessing, brother. Keep up the good work. God bless you, bro.
Amen. Thanks again.
Want much more from pastor and filmmaker Joe Schimmel? We hope you'll order the Submerging Church DVD set today. This in-depth documentary will inform and challenge, answering nearly every question about the dangers of the emergent church movement. Included is a bonus 90-minute DVD concerning the emergent's key musician, Bono, lead singer of U2. Visit our safe and secure online store at ericbarger.com. That's ericbarger, ericbarger.com, or call 214-289-5244 to place your order. And thanks for support of Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries.
Well, as we come to the end of another broadcast, I just want to thank you for your emails and your phone calls and the support we receive. We do need your financial help. Please do order a copy of Joe Schimmel's DVD set, The Submerging Church. You can do that at our website, ericbarger.com, or by calling us at 214-289-5244. And of course, you can donate or make a monthly pledge to the ministry by going to the website or calling us, either one. Every gift, large or small, is needed, and we appreciate it very much. And remember to use our website as a resource center. And if you have an Android or an iPhone, make sure you search for Eric Barger in the App Store or the market and download our free app. It's a great way to keep in touch with us. Well, this ministry is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas. We are funded by the gifts of our friends and our supporters. Please come and take a stand with us. Have a great week. I'll talk to you again next Saturday.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week and encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.